Chapter 28. Spire Albion, Habel Landing Shipyards, AMS Predator. Grim descended from the deck to the engineering section just as the engineers were carefully opening the crates marked with the crest of the Lancaster Vettery. "Ah!" Journeyman cackled, rubbing his broad, calloused hands together. The stocky, balding engineer was sweating despite the pleasantly cool afternoon. They had grounded the ship and throttled down her core crystal only about half an hour before, and the excess heat shared by the ship's power conduits had not yet dissipated. Currently, electricity was running only to the lumen crystals and the kitchen.
"Finally! Carefully now, man! If you crack one of my new crystals, I'll hoist you up on a spike!"
Grim cleared his throat calmly. Journeyman squinted over his shoulder.
"Ah," he said. "That is, I will report you to the proper person in the chain of command who will make decisions about discipline that are not mine to make."
"Always good to maintain discipline in your section, Chief," Grim said pleasantly. "Even in a civilian vessel."
Journeyman flicked Grim a quick salute and snorted.
"Preddy's a warship, Skipper. We all know that."
Grim shrugged a shoulder.
"When need be, Chief.
Are the new parts up to spec?"
Journeyman waved a hand vaguely at the far workbench, where 8 green-white crystals, the size of a man's head, sat in an orderly row in a long crate, like eggs in a nest.
"Those are the new trim crystals, and they're first rate. You can still smell the solution from the vat on them."
Grim glanced at Journeyman sharply. Trim crystals of varying quality were often to be found, but never new ones. New trim crystals tended to be more efficient and more sensitive to varying degrees of current, and then gradually degraded with use. A ship with new trim crystals was slightly but significantly more maneuverable than one without, which was why they were universally snapped up by the Ethereum fleet as rapidly as they were produced.
"They're new."
Journeyman gave Grim a gap-toothed grin.
"Bet your fancy silk suit on it, Skip."
Grim shook his head slowly, partly in answer to Journeyman and partly in slowly dawning realization of the amount of debt into which he had been placed. Predator would have been nimble even if the Spyrarch had provided used lift crystals. With new ones, she could dance with the finest in the world. The last crate finally came open with a groan, and the engineering crew carefully broke it down around the last crystal. An enormous oblong shape the size of a bathtub, its emerald surface faceted so finely that except for a few glitters of light upon it, it looked round and smooth. The lift crystal would socket into the suspension rig, the ship's structural foundation, and when they were in flight, all the weight of Predator would be spread across the crystal surface.
"Gorgeous,"
Journeyman crooned, approaching the crystal with his hands outstretched.
"Oh, you beautiful thing. Come here, come here."
Grim arched an eyebrow.
"Ought I leave the two of you alone?"
Journeyman sniffed haughtily, and then knelt down beside the crystal, running his hands over its surface. He muttered to himself, then started pulling probes and gauges from his tool belt. He popped a pair of engineer's optics over his nose, flicked several different lenses into place, and squinted at the crystal surface, prodding and muttering. Grim gave him several minutes to study the lift crystal before he cleared his throat again.
"Mr. Journeyman?"
"Been some kind of mistake, Skip,"
Journeyman muttered. Grim leaned forward.
"Mistake? How so?"
The journeyman hooked up a set of probes to a power outlet and touched them to the big crystal. Radiant spirals of light began to flow through the crystal just beneath where the probes touched. Journeyman eyed the spirals through his optics, then flicked them out of the way with an annoyed hand and did it again, this time watching a gauge to which the probes were attached.
"Yep, definitely a mistake."
"What's wrong with it, Chief?"
"Oh, not a damned thing, Skip,"
Journeyman said.
Brand new. And one of their Mark IVs to boot. Efficient as hell.
Journeyman, Grim reminded himself, was a genius with etheric technology. That was why they had managed to return home to Albion with an almost completely non-functional lift crystal in the first place. Journeyman had rigged the trim crystals to carry a load for which they had never been designed, and more or less burned them out in the process. He was a damned fine engineer, but at times Grimm wished he could be a bit less of a genius child entirely absorbed by his toys.
Then what's the mistake, Chief?
Journeyman turned to squint at Grimm.
This is a battle cruiser's lift crystal, Skip, or I'm a shiny new Wally Pog ensign.
Grimm grunted, frowning. Capital ships used multiple heavy crystals to maintain their altitude, and the crystals tended to be denser and more complex, which made them more energy efficient. The sheer mass of the large ship's structure and armor demanded nothing less. If what Journeyman said was true, that lift crystal could easily keep a ship 35 times Predator's mass aloft. They'd have to be careful of how much power they fed to the crystal, or its raw power might tear it free of the suspension rig entirely. It was altogether possible that Predator might be able to climb faster than she could dive with a crystal like that to lift her.
What kind of altitude could she take us to, Chief?
Journeyman scratched his ear with one broken nailed finger.
7, maybe 8 miles? Way higher than we could breathe without tanks, anyway. For all practical purposes, she won't have an operational ceiling. And she's real efficient at lower altitude. Won't have to dump a quarter of the power we used to from the core into this sweetheart to keep us in the air.
One of the engineering crew let out a low whistle, and Grimm felt himself in heartfelt agreement with the sentiment. The largest part of a ship's power budget was allotted to its lift crystal. Less energy spent on keeping the ship afloat meant more power that could be used for other systems. They could get more speed out of the etheric web by charging it more highly, increase the density of Predator's shroud, and fire her cannon until their copper barrels melted. The Spyrarch had given them parts of such quality that, when combined with her exceptional core crystal, Predator was about to become the fastest airship in Albion's fleet, as fierce as any military vessel in her own class, with the ability to pour fire from her cannon that a cruiser might envy. It didn't mean that Predator could take on a true armored warship like Itasca. But she would be far more elusive and difficult to bring down with a lucky shot, and any ship lighter than Itasca would get a very nasty surprise if it engaged Grimm's little ship.
I love you,
Journeyman said to the lift crystal. He kissed it and spread his arms across its surface in an embrace.
I love you. You big, beautiful beast, I want you to marry me. I want you to bear my children.
Chief,
Grimm said reproachfully, but his heart wasn't in it. Addison Albion had come through on his promise to a degree that Grimm could scarcely encompass. Grimm tried to calculate the cost of the Spyrarch's largesse and realized that he couldn't. Crystals like that weren't for sale. They were priceless. And they would make his ship into something far more swift and fearsome and efficient than she had ever been before. The Spyrarch had known that Grimm had no intention of taking service to him. But he had sent these crystals anyway. How did one in good conscience pay back a debt that by its very nature could not be calculated? How could Grimm turn his back on such a gesture of faith and walk away after a single errand? If there was a way to do so, he certainly did not see it. Lord Albion, Grimm decided, was something of a judge of character.
How long until you've got them all installed, Chief?
He asked. Journeyman looked up from the crystal and squinted around the section, evidently gathering his thoughts.
Trim crystals won't take but a day, he said. They're standardized, and we can swap them out pretty quick. This lovely beast, though.
He rubbed his hands over the lift crystal surface again.
This might take some time. Our suspension rig can handle her, but not until I make some modifications.
How long?
And then there are the power runs, Journeyman said. We'll have to install some resistors to reduce the current, or those trim crystals will have us spinning upside down in mid-air the first time Kettle tries to bank. And we'll have to lay new runs to the web nodes, so that we can feed more current to the web.
How long?
And there's the Haslett cages to consider, too. I'll have to calibrate them to account for the increased efficiency, and a cause cage, too, to let us run up a thicker shroud.
Chief, Grimm said, keeping his patience with effort. How long? Journeyman shrugged.
A month, maybe?
If Grimm knew his engineer, he'd still be fussing over and massaging his new crystals into increased performance 6 months from now.
There's a war on, Chief. How long for the quick and dirty necessities just to get us moving?
Journeyman's face wrinkled as if he just caught a whiff of something foul.
Skipper,
he protested. Grimm let a hint of calm, cool steel creep into his voice.
I'm a captain. Humor me. How long?
The engineer scratched at the back of his neck, muttering. Then he said,
Maybe a week.
Run round-the-clock work shifts,
Grimm said.
And if you can find any bonded local engineers, we'll hire them on.
Journeyman stared at Grimm as though Grimm had just suggested that the engineer should prostitute his mother to pirates.
In my engine room? Skip!
Do it, Chief, Grimm said. That's an order. Journeyman muttered a bit more savagely under his breath.
A few days, then. For that, you get the most pathetic, slipshod, half-assed, rickety, unreliable, accident-prone potential disaster in the history of the airship.
I have every faith in you, Chief, Grimm said, turning to go.
Draw funds as you need them, and get to it.